Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time, number nine, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Talking about how, yeah, I mean, it doesn't look great out there, but you know, they've won 7 out of 10. Those are good results, even if what we're seeing isn't great. But the last couple nights, the results are matching up to what our human eyes have been telling us about this team, and that has been that their play has kind of gone in the tank. And maybe specifically, you can point to the absence of Steven Adams for this becoming such a disappointing team to look at. They get beat last night by the Hornets, 109-99. They don't break 100 points. It was so bad. They were so bad last night that, you know, Ime called off the dogs early against a Hornets team. The Hornets have played great basketball. They've won now 8 in a row. Still only 24-28, but this was a game that the Rockets said, we're good here, pretty early, and they go down for the second night in a row. Of course, with the back-to-back, Tari didn't play. It is it's a team that is being carried by Kevin Durant because his performances don't really fluctuate. He put up another 31, but that's the one positive, that he can go get 31 in 31 minutes, and that's maybe the other positive, that he didn't have to play 35 to 38 minutes in the game. It was just a team that second quarter hit, and you just imagine, because the Hornets' reputation, even if you were aware that they had won 7 in a row, that at some point the Rockets would hit a gear that would at least get them some separation. Instead, it was the Hornets who did that. They started knocking down some shots in a span, and their lead ballooned, and at that point you could tell the Rockets didn't have, forget a second gear, they barely got out of first gear. And it was disappointing, and you're expecting, after losing to Boston the way they did, you think, hey, a soft touch is coming to town. It's the Hornets. Sure, you lost to Boston without Jaylen Brown, but we'll just toss that aside. Let's at least go get this one. Let's split this back-to-back. And that was not in the cards, as Con Knipple, LaMelo Ball, and that was really it. I mean, Miles Bridges got up a lot of shots, but he wasn't great. But you didn't even need great performances last night from the Hornets to get a win, which is another problem. Because if you get beat by a team where a guy goes for like 45 and he's unconscious, all right, you would hope a team whose identity is about defense would have found a way. But you know what? On some nights, a guy's going to be a superstar, even if that's not his reputation. And you say, all right, we toss that one away. Tonight wasn't their night. That wasn't the case. They just got outplayed by a team who didn't even play great basketball last night. Unfortunately for us, the Rockets are playing awful basketball. And from Alperen Sengun going 3 of 11, he can't just score 7 points. In that game where his biggest opposition, I wouldn't even say it's Musa Diabate, it's the smaller player on him because they're hiding Diabate on Amen, which is now just going to be a thing. We talked about it earlier in the week. Teams are just going to put your center on Amen and put their center on Amen and let him roam. And that continues to be something that's caused problems. And we did get answers from Rafael Stone on why they did not make a move before the trade deadline. And this is a case of Rafael Stone being a little too candid. You'll hear it. We'll talk about it. But, yeah, the night, or at least the last couple of nights, haven't been their night. Rafael Stone said something that fans did not want to hear and took it in a way that I'm not surprised by. Here's Rafael Stone on why the team didn't make any additions. I think additions having a problem, maybe. We'll see. We might have to just hear from Rafael Stone when we come back, because our system, I thought it was fixed. We were having an issue this morning. I thought I got it squared away, but maybe not. So we'll see. We'll go to break, because we're already past when we should have gone to break, thanks to John and Lance. So we'll go to break. We will hear from Rafael Stone when we come back. Of course, Michael Carroll will join us today as well at 11:30. So if you are one of those people who loves to save their one call they get on a day like today for Michael Carroll, he's going to be with us. He'll talk television and movies. He'll recommend stuff. He'll tell you maybe what not to watch. And we'll talk about Comicast as well, that podcast he does. So we're getting started here. We'd love to have you join us at 713-780-3776. Sean and I till noon. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we should be good to go here. Let's hear from the Rocket General Manager. He's catching it. Ime's catching it. Rafael Stone probably a little too candid at the very end of his comments about what's being discussed inside his office. Here's Rafael Stone on why they didn't make any additions.
I think you just said it. The process was really sticking with the guys we have. I think, obviously we talked to every team. You know, we had discussions. But this year in particular, we just did, with the way the cap works, we're hard capped at the first apron. So constructing trades in the first place is hard. So that created one limitation. And then, you know, just generally, I think the team's been very good the first half of the season, so we weren't looking to make change for change's sake at all. You know, I think given the number of injuries we've taken, one thing we did look at was you know, kind of like, is this just not our year? Because we do feel as though, like, in kind of leading into today, we've had some of the worst injury luck in the NBA. But credit to...
Yeah, you can't say that. In a year that had championship expectations, even if that's your musings, maybe you're having discussions with your people about, hey, man, maybe this isn't the year we get it done. You don't throw that out there as reasoning. All the other things you said beforehand, fans probably don't want to hear it anyway. They don't care about that first apron stuff, even though beyond saving an owner money, it can also hamper your ability to do things later on. Like if you're a repeater, and it's a lot of CBA stuff that people don't actually care about. Just find a way to get stuff done, really. So there is some functional reasons outside of, hey, we're going to save our own owner money, why you don't want to be beyond the first apron. But don't throw it out there. Hey, maybe not this year, so we're not going to try to improve this team, because we talked about it. If you are simply a backup center and a less than efficient point guard away from, and those are the two reasons why you don't think you can compete. It's tough for people to hear when you have Kevin Durant and what everyone feels like is still a very talented roster. But maybe the Rockets were always fake contenders. And maybe that's what we're finding out, even beyond the ugly losses. Maybe this all was very fragile, and the fact that Fred VanVleet is so, integral to what you do, maybe we should have never considered them a real threat. And that's maybe hard for people to consider because the expectations were really high. Kevin Durant talked about how the expectations grew. He was very insightful on that, considering the trade that brought him here. And, of course, DFS was another one of those additions that people thought would help, getting another wing to shoot the rock and play defense. That has been a miss. Of all the moves, and we had the conversation with one of our callers yesterday regarding the draft, the DFS one that was one of their targets this offseason, that's a miss right now. He's rarely available. And when he does play, there's not much contributions. Somehow, some way, the Rockets have two wings that can't play back-to-backs. And they haven't found a way to say, hey, tonight's your night. The other night is his night. If you know you're not going to play these guys back-to-back, split them up. Because in some ways, they play the same position and take minutes away from each other. Just play one and then play the other. And sometimes we don't get either. And that's what happened last night. Watching LaMelo Ball take one-footed threes and they go in. That's got to be one of the more infuriating things. Like, I saw Wimby knock down a shot and the Mavericks play-by-play goes, oh, hell no. Because he did a step-back three and knocked it down. And it's just the realization that this alien out there at 7 foot whatever can do things that guards can do. So I get the, oh, hell no, not this. But LaMelo's even worse, I think. Because he it's one-footed. There's nothing fundamentally sound about it. It's just him trying things. And, yeah, he's made some of them. But when he knocks down like a 27 one-foot jump, one-foot three-pointer in the middle of a game where you're already down by like 10, all right, it's disgusting to watch.
Yeah, you just look at your squad and you're like, you don't have anybody that could do that.
Yeah, or anybody who would even think about trying it.
Yeah, it's just like, what? How do we do that?
Yeah.
What?
You're watching the game and you can't knock down shots and LaMelo feels so good. He's just, yeah, I'll take this one-footer in the eye of Amen Thompson. And yeah. Shoot right in his eye.
Watching the Charlotte offense, you're just like, why can they do that? And the Rockets, like, every possession is like a chore.
Well, one guy who was practicing one-foot jumpers in the preseason, James Harden, had interest in being a Rocket again. Ramona Shelburne wrote this morning. He had an interest in coming back this around the trade deadline, but the Rockets had no interest. So if you weren't sure whether James wanted to be back, now you have your confirmation. The Rockets simply said, nah, we're good. Now James will be playing with the Cavs. So it's just been a rough couple of days. But you just hoped that they would do something to kind of – I don't even know that any acquisition would have changed what's going to happen in the playoffs, but sometimes fans just want you to do something to do something because it feels like this season is turning in a direction where we kind of know what the result will be. They'll scrap in a first-round series. Maybe they'll win it. Maybe they won't. But at the end of the day, the end goal – won't be reached, which brings Ime Udoka into the equation because Rocket fans are sick of the lack of cohesiveness offensively. It feels like Kevin Durant and Alperen Şengün have to do a lot of work. And by the way, Alperen's not beyond criticism as it goes right now because not only is it with the fans, Ime said something in line with how he normally talks, but it's candid. If you read it a certain way, it's not very complimentary of Alperen Şengün. Alperen Şengün, there's a clip from yesterday's game where he gets blown by. Kevin Durant barks at him. it's not clear, but it sounds like he's saying play some defense. There's a gesture from Amon, because I think it was a pick and roll situation, so Amon couldn't get over top of the screen. So Alpi had to take him, gave up a straight line drive to the bucket, and Amon throws his hands up in exasperation. And then you hear Ime Udoka after the game talking about Alperen being attacked on defense.
What have you noticed in the last two games? It looks like teams are starting to try to hunt Alpi on defense and put him in those pick and roll situations.
It's been the case since I've been here, so no different there.
Now, on its face, you could be like, you know what? Yeah, Alperen Şengün generally is going to be the weakest defender, even last year, or especially last year when you had Dylan Brooks and then you had Jalen Green who had improved defensively. If you're going to attack someone on the Rockets, it's Alperen Şengün. So, sure. But when it's said in that tone, it's like, everyone knows he's kind of trash, so of course they're going to go at him. I mean, when it's said in that way, but he's just being honest. Who else are you going to always go after if you can make a choice as far as the Rockets and how they're set up defensively? You attack Alperen Şengün. Get your ball handler on him. He's improved as far as playing in space. But last night, he wasn't great on both ends, and his teammates were letting him know about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is something where it is like, it was the same game plan last year when you play the Rockets. They had a good defense, so it's not like that like disqualifies you from ever having a good defense. Like, no, they figured it out last year. I don't know if it's just Şengün last night wasn't as good as he normally is. I mean, he did kind of rush back from an ankle injury. Like, is that part of what's happening here? He really hasn't played all that well since that injury. He's had a couple spurts.
Yeah.
And it's all, he plays well on offense.
Yes.
It's all like, yeah, he scored 31 points because he shot 17 free throws against Indiana.
He had a 39 or whatever it was. And of course, he did miss a couple free throws late that almost gave that game away. So there's the give and take of him. But yeah, I would maybe point to that ankle coming back from that because the Rockets were not playing well. So it appeared he rushed back considering the timeline we were given about his return. And he hasn't been great defensively. The Rockets as a whole haven't been great over the last 20 games. This comes from one of our favorites, Steven Adams stats.
Oh, yes. Love Steven Adams stats.
They're in their 20 games since January 1st, they're 26th in offense, still 8th in defense, still a top 10 defense, and 15th in net rating. So the numbers certainly have corresponded to what we see, and now we've had some results, some embarrassing ones, that have caught up to how they're playing. So it's a bad stretch. They didn't do anything to get better. And the only help they're going to get is from within.
Yeah, it's just like, and this is right up Ime Udoka's alley. Look at yourself in the mirror and like decide to be better.
Yeah.
Like it is, I mean, we did have this stretch last year where they were on like a terrible losing, like not just lengthwise, because I think it was like a 5-6 game. Yeah, it was like all losing to bad teams, and it was like around this same time last year. So I do wonder if this is like a
dog days of winter. Is that what they're going through?
It's just, hey, we've been playing 38 minutes a night for since November, mid October now. When the season starts, so it's like, is this just like an Ime Udoka, like, just things get worn down?
Well, you did call him an ugly word.
I didn't, I mean.
You called him Tom Thibodeau.
I said after the playoffs, we might have to have that discussion.
No one, as accomplished as Tom Thibodeau is.
I know, Thibodeau's like.
No fan wants their coach to be called Tom Thibodeau.
I didn't call him that.
Because of what that implies.
I said in 4 months' time, we might have to have that conversation. Really, like 2.5 months' time.
People are having a different conversation about Ime, like, get him out of here. That's where a lot of people are right now, because when you have a roster as talented as as it appears to be when you just look at the names, you are hoping the coach accentuates the positives and finds a way to mitigate some of the weaknesses, particularly first your guys on the offensive end, and people aren't seeing that. So while no one expects Udoka to go anywhere, it hadn't stopped people from asking the question, are we sure about this guy?
Are we sure he's going to get the best out of this roster?
Yeah.
And the whole Kevin Durant of it all just speeds up the and ramps up the urgency. You speed up the timeline, you ramp up the urgency, and people are feeling like this is a lost year. Meanwhile,
the GM feels like it's a lost.
Well, he which GM, once again, too candid.
Is wondering out loud.
We appreciate you. When Rafael Stone says stuff, it hits a little different than when Nick Caserio is fumfering through things and not really giving any answers. But in this case, be Nick Caserio, not Rafael Stone. Don't wonder aloud, hey, is this just a lost year? No one's looking to hear that.
It's like he did 45 seconds of like GM talk of like, well, we actually can't pat, you know, due to the CBA, we actually can't pass the first apron this year, da-da-da-da-da, blah-blah-blah, didn't think, whatever. And then it's like, all right, just wrap this thing up and no one will clip this ever. Also, I thought maybe it's not our year.
Then he, no. Like when you watch someone in a deposition and they have a script and the lawyer's like, stick to the script.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get off script. He ad-libbed, and yeah. Look what happened.
Yeah, he was like, watch this.
Yeah.
They love candidness.
We do, but not for the reasons that would help you in any way.
I can say that. I can imply that. You can't.
You cannot. Not,
you can actually change this.
Yes. Don't tell people you may not have done something because it could be a lost year because we're cursed because a couple guys got hurt. One of them, a backup center of all things, and that could be the difference between winning a playoff series and maybe going out in the first round, it appears. All right, we'll go to break with that. 713-780-3776 is the number. We'll hear from a guy we rarely hear from because he's not named Joe Espada or Dana Brown. We'll hear from the Astros pitching coach, who's now just one man. It used to be a law firm or a consulting group. Now it's just one guy. We'll hear from Josh Miller. He spoke to Chandler Rome about their newest addition. Well, at least their newest prominent addition, Tetsuya Imai. We'll hear from Josh Miller on what we can expect from, hopefully, the Astros' next star. We'll do that when we come back.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Josh Miller, the Astros pitching coach, you think Josh Miller's a little upset that things go poorly, now we can just blame him? It used to be Miller and Murphy who would catch it, and you divide some of the blame. Hey, it's Miller and Murphy. Or maybe he's thrilled that he doesn't have to split the credit. It's a Josh Miller joint if Tetsuya Imai is great.
Yeah, it's all on me.
Yeah.
Finally, people know Josh Miller.
I was the actual engine behind all this. Yeah, I mean, from Strom to Miller and Murphy, but now it's just Miller's time.
Yeah, I mean, it was so bad that when Murphy left, it took us a while to
figure out who the
whichever one left.
Yeah,
whichever one.
Yeah, they've always just been in concert. So now they're individuals. We know that now.
Yes,
and now Josh Miller gets to speak. Like, is it worth it to just have Miller back then? Like, what does Murphy think about Tetsuya Imai or Hunter Brown? And it's tough to have both of them all at the same time in an interview. So maybe you just say, hey, we're not talking either one.
Yeah, no. Although it would be funny if they did interviews together like in Step Brothers, like Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly in Step Brothers.
It's
wearing
like
tuxedos.
It's like in a band where the front person is so insistent, hey, we're a band. It's not just me.
Yeah.
And the band's always together.
Now I have to ask the bassist a question, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. So this will get awkward if I don't. Now we get to just ask Miller and Chandler Rome got to on the Clutch City pod, or Crush City pod. You always get that confused. The Crush City pod. Here's Chandler Rome and I think Tyler Stafford talking to Josh Miller on Tetsuya Imai.
I mean, he looks like the electric, high-level pitcher that, you know, can come and dominate a game. You know, he moves very athletically. The ball jumps out of his hand. He's got some unique secondary weapons that we think will play. He commands his pitch as well. He's got some charisma and some energy about him that I think will play well here for the fans. And, you know, we're excited to get started. And again, like with Ethan Katz on the coaching staff with Tatsuya, we're still in the get to know you phase, and we'll see, you know, how the acclimation of, you know, from the MPB schedule to the MLB schedule and what that looks like. But, you know, it seems like in our early conversations, all systems are go. He's up for anything. He's willing to do what's needed and what's best for the team. And, you know, we're excited to get started with him.
That's Josh Miller on the Crush City Territory podcast. Imai has a chance to become a big favorite. Like, he's already thrown up, I guess he was throwing up horns, but, you know, you call them devil horns, whatever you can call them. Maybe he'll be taught to add an extra finger so it's an H. Either way, you know, we've seen him around town at games. I think people are ready to embrace him because it's the – what's the word I'm looking for? It's the newness, I guess I will say, of having an international pitcher, a Japanese pitcher on the roster. We haven't had a Japanese pitcher in the rotation since we had Kikuchi, but that was a rental. And unfortunately, Imai could become a rental, but there's a chance he's here for at least 3 years. So if he's good to start, I don't know if I'll use the word sensation, but if he's good, people will buy that jersey in droves, I think.
Yeah, fan favorite.
Yeah, he'll become one of those guys that people love to see out there every, I guess, 5 days or however they do it. Maybe they go a six-man rotation to start. So I think there's a real gap because of guys who have left. Of course, you have Altuve. People like Hunter Brown, but I don't know that Diesel, as he's called, has a personality that brings people in. Like, we like Hunter Brown because he's a baller. That's what we love about Hunter Brown. I think Tatsuya Imai could become more than that just because of what we've seen from his personality so far. That seems like something that people would gravitate towards. Now you just got to pitch well. That's all. That's where it starts. And if he pitches well, I think that'll be someone Astros fans embrace quite a bit. Because he picked us. And he talked about, well, at least the quotes from him were, hey, I don't want to join the Dodgers. I don't want to join some already ramped up dynasty. Yeah. I want it to be a part of something that beats them, which will only add to his legacy if he pitches well.
If he pitches well.
That's the bottom line. I can say all the flowery things I want about his personality and how it's something people gravitate towards. Go out there and go 4 2/3 and give up 5.
Yeah.
None of that personality is going to matter.
I want him to pitch well. But
not too well?
Too well that he opts out.
So what's a good year for Sean because it means Tatsuya Imai stays?
I think like ERA in the fours.
What?
And then
in the fours,
yeah.
From what is he?
Then he stayed like a 4-4.
Yeah, but do you want him to stay if he's in the 4-4? Is that are you getting value for the contract if he's in a, if he's mid 4 guy?
He starts in like starts rough, and then he dials it in late, but it's still like kind of. And then next year he comes in and it's
if he starts
1.9 ERA.
Him starting rough might mean they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs last year.
No one, but we don't want to repeat that. they didn't make the playoffs. No one's looking to repeat.
Hunter Brown started rough 2 years ago.
I guess if they don't make the playoffs, maybe you don't want to spot her Dana Brown here because they don't make the playoffs. Those two are gone.
Yeah, not my problem.
Okay.
Yes, for me, so not you for
want,
Dana. And
so you want to keep the guy who Dana Brown signed who may not pitch well enough that Dana Brown gets fired.
Yes, because then you get Imai Mania the next year.
I like it to start from the jump. I know.
I want one decent year and then one awesome year.
I see how your brain is working because you're trying to figure out a way to not have to give him more money to stay for a second year.
I need and more innings because he leaves after this year. Well, need another Imai.
Go back. Well, As long as Jim Crane keeps taking meetings with the Daikin people, he can be over in Japan and get invigorated to sign another Japanese player.
I didn't mean literally another Japanese player.
Oh, okay.
Another guy to take a spot.
My bad.
Could be American or Cuban. I don't care.
I thought you want that pipeline.
No, I mean,
to stay open.
I'm open to it, you know. But the that's the number one request. The number two request, just be awesome. Just be the best pitcher in baseball.
Okay,
that's the second to that. Be the best pitcher in baseball.
So you'd rather have him be meh, a little above meh to stay
innings eater.
Oh, okay. Well, we just had one get paid a lot of money to play for the Tigers.
Yeah, but just a tick worse.
A tick worse in the production.
Where there's still some doubts of, like, can he really do it in the big leagues?
We need to see it for a second.
Yeah, he got a little lucky. Look at his FIP. Look at his ex-WOBA.
Sure. Look at it if you want.
Yeah,
I'm not
so
going
to. All the smart teams are like, we're not paying him.
So he senses what his market will be, and he comes back more motivated.
Is the best pitcher in baseball.
So
Japanese schemes.
So
that's what we want to call
it. In any scenario, you don't think we get to a year three. In both of your scenarios, we're not getting to a year three.
I mean, if he pitches well.
Japanese schemes. That almost went by me. If he's Japanese schemes, we're never seeing him in an Astros uniform.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah. No, but after year two.
Okay. Okay.
I want this guy in my life. What can I say?
At least for 2 seasons.
Yeah. I want to spend some time with Imai.
I do like that you are aware that because of how the Astros operate.
Oh, if he opts out, he's gone.
There's no chance.
what are we talking about?
I do appreciate your ability to know what your team's on. And yes, if he's great, we might as well just say goodbye now.
So we need to maneuver it to where it's...
At least we get 2 years.
Not a disaster, but we get a second year.
So I think you're, now that you've explained it, optimally and probably what's best for us as fans and the Astros is the 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's going to a third year and he doesn't opt out, that means he probably hasn't pitched that well.
Yeah, exactly.
So 2 years is probably
the sweet spot.
The sweet spot for Imai. And
one of those, he's insane.
And one of those, as you say, is Japanese schemes.
Yes.
I'll take it. How about you just be poor man's Yamamoto? I don't know. That'd be great, too. That'd be great, too. All right.
Whatever, from whatever town in Japan.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. Just get that done after what that guy did. All right, we'll go to break with that. Sean says it's topping out at 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, if it goes 3, something's gone wrong. Or
he's very loyal.
Has a terrible agent. Oh, yeah. Or is very
he's
loyal.
He's got Scott Boras. He doesn't have a terrible agent.
Okay, then.
He would have to be very loyal or something's gone wrong to get to year 3.
He tells Scott Boras the same thing Jose Altuve tells Scott Boras, where it's like, hey, I just want to stay here.
Maybe he'll love it here and he'll just want to be here no matter what, no matter what he does.
Hopefully. That seems harder to pull off, that he just is so enchanted.
Asking someone to be the next Altuve seems like a difficult ask.
Yeah, we really only have one of those guys.
Yeah, he's one of one. All right, we'll go to break with that. 713-780-3776 is the number. Remember, Michael Carroll will join us at 11:30. We'll talk movies and television with him. We got a big change to the schedule. I mentioned that yesterday. I'll remind you again. Schedule TV-wise, not with us. As far as what you can watch tonight, maybe that'll be part of Michael's segment. We'll do that at 11:30, but we got one more segment before hour one is done. We will be back. But first, I want to tell you about Aqueduct Plumbing Company, mainly because while a lot of us consider ourselves handy, look, I can change the brake pads on my car. Of course, a lot of you can change your own tires. The one thing I haven't heard from a lot of people, I can do my own plumbing. I haven't heard a lot of people say I can fix my own plumbing issues. That's why you go to Aqueduct Plumbing Company, get the experts in that. Don't worry about it. Once you tell them what the problem is, they'll fix it. And another thing about them is they'll figure it out for you and not charge you for it. They have a free price quote. There are things that are worse, but nothing sucks when it comes to trying to figure out what a problem is getting. Nothing sucks more than getting charged for it just to figure out what the issue is. No one wants that, and Aqueduct Plumbing Company won't do that to you. If you go to the website, aqueductplumbingcompany.com, you'll see all the things they have to offer, including that number you can call. 281-488-6238 is that number. That's 281-488-6238. No matter what your plumbing need is, whether it be a big job or a small job, it could be leak detection. Maybe you got an issue with the camera. They do the camera inspection. Plumbing fixtures, remodels, new construction, gas piping. They have it all there for you. Wide range of things they're experts in. And, of course, they do the repiping. They're Houston's premier repiping company. They've done over 1,000 of those. So if you got an older home and you're trying to prevent your pipes from creating a mess, whether it be dirty water or a leak, they'll do the repiping for you and do a great job at it. Just check out all they have to offer at aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
It's something we didn't touch on because we were focused on how awful the play was in the Celtics game, losing to guys named Roberto Garza and Baylor Shireman. We didn't really talk about the fact that Udoka and Alpi got thrown out. Well, the internet did the internet thing, and now we found out why Alpi got thrown out. So there is a question of what he said before a certain word, but there's no question what the word was that got him thrown out. If you missed it, Alperen Şengün, as he's wont to do, was upset about not getting a foul call. He didn't get the call he wanted, and a lot of things are said on an NBA court. Kevin Durant, we actually have a social video of him, of us applauding something he said on an NBA court because of how unique it was. We had never heard it put that way before. Alperen Şengün, this is tough. It was directed at, well, we believe it was directed at a female referee. She certainly took it as it was directed at her. The Boston Celtics bench certainly reacted like he was talking to her. Whether you think he say Yura or effing, the final word that got him thrown out was the B word, directed at a female referee. This wasn't one tech, hey, relax, and he kept going at her, and then she threw him out. It was immediate, beat it, you're done. And because hot mics are hot mics, we at least know the B word was levied at her. What he said beforehand, in question. But either way, it's a video that's certainly reached multiple podcasts. Of course, we're talking about on this show. It's interesting because, as I said, a lot of awful things are said between players and how referees catch it too. But apparently there is still some sanctity. Even the Boston Celtics are like, you can't call her that. And he got run pretty quickly. I don't know what comes of it. If the word leads to a fine, I think when you get ejected, you get fined. I don't know if there'll be an added thing because of course, you're calling a woman that word. She's a referee. I don't know if there'll be anything added. And of course, because we'll move on to something else, the internet won't hold it against Alperen Şengün for too long. But now it goes on his jacket. He can't be the first, right? Maybe I can't imagine he's the first.
I also can't imagine he's the first. I just don't.
Don't know of another.
Yeah.
I remember Kelly Oubre pointing at like three referees and all calling him that.
Yes.
But it was three male referees.
Yes.
I believe. So this at least is the first documented incident.
Yeah. Rajon Rondo
did a while back.
Well, he called a referee that was like. It was like an open secret that he was closeted. He called him the F word.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
that's pretty bad.
Got it. Yes. Yes, we've had those. Yeah, and that word, I mean, Kobe, people read his lips. He wasn't directing at a ref, I think. He was sitting on the bench.
With Kobe?
Kobe, and he called someone that. We could read his lips and see that he said it. This one caught on camera, on a mic.
Is tough. I think Rondo got like, suspended a game for
yeah I believe that. I believe you can't, they're not going to allow a gay slur particularly directed at, they may allow it to another player
because not to a ref, I'm sure
that's happened quite a bit, but if they catch you on camera and you're directing it at a ref, you're in trouble. I don't know what comes of this. Is it enough to
sensitivity training?
Will he have to apologize, or will he say I was directing it at the player who said something to me? I don't know what it'll be, but it appears he directed it at the female referee, and everyone was taken aback. Even the Celtics were like, whoa!
NBA players were like,
hey, what are you doing?
Baylor Shireman was like, whoa, not in my league, all right?
And he said my league, yeah. The game he was having. That happened. We haven't heard word of any disciplinary action. We'll see if it goes beyond a simple, hey, cut, don't do that anymore. We'll see about that. Let's get to a couple. Well, let's get to Willie. He wants to talk Rockets, and then we'll go. We might go to break after that. What's up, Willie?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
What's up?
Not much. Chilling. So I wasn't even going to call and talk about the Alpie, calling the ref that word thing. But it's funny because I saw the no with the no chill with Gil podcast today. I don't know if you saw Nick Young. Nick Young was like, well,
they called the foul. Yeah, I saw that.
I was like, oh, man. But I'm not going to lie. It's a rough look for Alpie because, like, you're calling – it's National Women and Girls of Sports Day, and you're calling a female ref that. And then on top of that, you're losing to – I know the Celtics team is second in the East, but without Jaylen Brown, you shouldn't have lost to them. I mean, you're looking like a traffic cone on defense in the midst of losing. So you kind of just look like a – it makes you look like a punk, no lie. But one takeaway from last night, besides Alpine not playing defense, is that KD, he turns the ball over so much. He's been so lackadaisical with the ball these last few games, even when we're winning, man. And then like last night, he had that, I'm not going to say CJ Stroud like body language, but I mean, he had that body language, man. Like it's not a good look. You're supposed to be our vet. You're supposed to be the guy, man. And it's rough right now. I'm not giving up on my boys, but we got to figure something out, man. And last thing I want to say, can you do me a favor? Can you ask Michael Carroll about this this new rom-com movie I saw on Amazon Prime last night? It's starring Clifford Smith Jr. and Kelly Rowland. It's called Relationship Goals. It's a banger.
I'll ask him about it.
It was a fine movie. I liked it. It was cute or whatever. But yeah, ask him about it. Just, I just want to see what he has to say about it. It's probably not going to be something on his watch list. But anyways, love the show as always. You gentlemen have a great weekend. Sean and Mace, what it do, baby?
Peace, fellas. Thank you, Willie P. For people who don't know, Clifford Smith Jr. is Method Man. He went with his government name. It's Method Man he's talking about in the movie. And
I've seen the trailer for this.
The movie, I'll remember to talk to Michael about it, see if he recommends it or not. Kobe actually did direct it at a referee. He got hit with a $100,000 fine for directing a gay slur at referee Benny Adams during a game. So it was at a ref, and they hit him with the $100,000. The referee that Alpi was yelling at was Jenna Renault. Don't know if it'll reach a $100,000 level for disrespecting her in that way. We will see. Hey, Alex and Keith, hold on. I see you. We got a break. We'll get to you when we come back. Alex wants to talk about Şengün and the ref. Keith wants to talk about the NBA. Anyone else? 713-780-3776. We'll be back.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.